thanks for joining us. Maddie, how long has it been?
Too long. Always too long. A week's always too long.
We have missed you greatly, but you're back for an important discussion, Jared.
Mm.
We've had several of these. This is another SmackDown. This time we're in the action world.
Yep.
We usually go into horror.
Yep.
Usually we're on the same page.
Mm.
I had early wins with Halloween 4, 5 and 6, I believe. I've turned you on 6.
Yes, you have.
Correct. So this one is Lethal Weapon. 2 versus 3. Mm-hmm. Jared, you were a 2 supporter.
Yes.
I was always more partial to 3.
Well, you came out strong and said last time you watched them that it was clearly 3 was better than 2. And so, unfortunately, when you say shit like that, sometimes we'll ask you to back it up.
And I believe Matt, one of our other listeners, was very keen on this particular episode.
Yeah, right. So. Can I, once again, I know, you know, we brought it up last time, but you also, it's also still on your record that you said Seagal can deliver a performance.
Okay, yeah, look,
so that is not a win.
I may have been struck off the register of legal practitioners.
You were required to have your credentials reassessed.
Look, I should have had my head read. But, Maddie, you, on the other hand, had not watched the Lethal Weapon film.
See, I thought I hadn't seen the second one, but I'd seen it before.
Okay, so you had seen 2.
Yeah.
Had you seen 3 before?
I had not seen 3.
Okay. So you're almost like the independent.
The
impartial.
I am.
It's the jury.
Borderline virgin.
Yeah,
Lethal Weapon. It was very fresh.
Yeah, I do remember when you mentioned you had to say Gibbo lost his fucking shit. Yeah, yeah.
Usually when you're called into play, it's to break down a furious masturbation scene. You're outside your area.
Yeah, I know. You are not in an area of expertise, mate. This could be problematic for you. But, okay, so there's no guff tonight because it's a double ep, basically. 2 films at once. So, without further mucking around, here's the trailer for Lethal Weapon 2.
Who is it?
Police, open up.
How do I know you're the police?
After I shoot you through the door, you can examine the bullet. Open up.
Mel Gibson. Danny Glover.
Come on, let's go, Raj.
Oh, no, let's go.
Come on, Raj, don't be a killjoy.
Oh, come on, we're back.
We're bad. You're black. I'm mad.
Come on, man.
Hey, listen. If we're going, shouldn't I have a gun?
No.
Now, get ready for something lethal.
I'm surprised you haven't heard about me. You know, I got a bad reputation, and sometimes I just go nuts like now.
Because the magic
gun
is back.
Mark, out the window, go.
Yeah, I'm okay. Where were you, man? You're my partner or what? Why didn't you follow me down?
Yeah, why didn't you follow him down?
Shut up! I'm 7 floors up!
Lethal Weapon 2.
You go first. I'm really chill for this.
You go first. I'll cover you.
Meanie.
Hey, Mom!
Good police work, officer.
Come on.
No.
Back to my place. Hey, I'll even cook.
You're lucky. I have to live with that.
You're not gonna make it.
I'm gonna make it.
No, there's not enough room.
You were right, you know. Yeah, there wasn't enough room.
Lethal Weapon 2. This time, they're not taking any crap.
Please get off me, man. I don't want anybody to see us like that.
Lethal Weapon 2 from 1989. Directed by Richard Donner, who directed the 78 Superman. 78?
Yeah.
Yep, 78 Superman. It's produced by Richard Donner and Joel Silver, who produced Sherlock Holmes films. The story's by Shane Black, who did The Nice Guys and the original Lethal Weapon, and Warren Murphy, who wrote Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins.
Hmm.
The screenplay is by Jeffrey Boehm, who did Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. It stars Mel Gibson as Martin Riggs, Danny Glover as Roger Murtaugh, Joe Pesci as Leo Getz, and Patsy Kensit as Rika Vandenhuth. The budget was $28 million. The box office was $227 million worldwide. And I was surprised to read this. Joe Pantoliano was the first choice to play Leo, but turned it down due to scheduling conflict with The Last of the Finest. Perhaps he should have...
That would have been way
turned down The Last of the Finest.
I actually
think he might have been better.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Joe Pesci, but... And we'll get to that as we talk.
I'm in for Pesci.
You like Pesci?
Okay.
Nobody's knocking Pesci in terms of his as an actor. And you chased him down the street.
fucking hassled him.
I didn't chase him down. I believe I was just there and someone else said, you know, Mr. Pesci, can we grab a photo because my friends are here.
Was he a curmudgeon?
It was a little bit of curmudgeon. He's like, are you really from Australia? Yeah, right. Okay. Let's get your photo and fuck off.
Yeah.
Didn't say that, but then I could see it.
Back to Australia.
Hey, look, Joe was he was a man of the people.
Was he? He doesn't sound like it. All right, okay. We're not giving scores, but let's do the rounds, okay? So what we think. Let's start with you, Matty. Lethal Weapon 2.
Overall opinion, I like that it stays in line with a bit of the darkness. That was something that drew me into it. You've still got the relationship. He's pretty much moved in with the family at this point. So I really enjoy that. The back and forth is awesome. The villain leaves a little bit to be desired. It's an interesting concept, but the timelines just don't make sense on some level. Some really good action sequences. It's got some stuff, again, that's sort of, I guess we'll get to it a bit later on, that's felt like a little bit like a James Bond film at times, especially in that opening sequence. But it has a few kicks in it that a few emotional kicks in the guts and that make it a really good movie. Yeah, I've enjoyed it a fair bit.
Okay. I'll go next, Jared, because you obviously, you know, this is your film. Look, a really solid sequel. It is right in line with the first one. And although the humour has kind of gone up as opposed to the original, but it's the relationship that makes these films work. Mm. And Gibson and Glover are just superb together.
Yeah.
Like it's blatantly obvious that they get on really well. And on screen, they just do such a fantastic job.
Mm.
Couple of really good action scenes and the excitement's there, and Richard Donner knows exactly what he's doing. Leo gets, he wears out his fucking welcome, the big fella. But I'll have further things to say about 3 and Leo gets, and that, you know, things probably won't look good for me on that front. But overall, I think much the same. And I think it does a pretty good job. If you watched them back to back, you'd probably be in a pretty good place, you know.
Yeah.
In terms of the aesthetic and the atmosphere and everything being very similar.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was my take.
Mm. I mean, from the opening sequence, you basically roll straight from the previous film into this one. Like that, everything's the same in that opening sequence in the car. And okay, it's pretty convenient that they just kind of stumble into the scheme again, but. As you said, the dialogue and the relationship between the two of them is pretty close to the first one. And I think that's got to do with that Shane Black had some involvement.
Mm.
As Maddie said, there's some emotional beats in this one that work pretty well.
Mm.
Yeah, the villains are solid enough. And although very cheesy, the performances are good enough for what you expect in these 80s action movies. And the action sequences are exciting enough. Leo gets. I actually really like Leo in this one because he's supposed to be a pain in the ass. They just get saddled with him in this one.
Correct.
As
there's
part
a
of the
reason game. For Leo.
Yes, yeah. They get saddled with the bloke, and initially he's a little bit underdone. Like part 3, it's like the bloke's had a dozen coffees before we shoot the scene. In this one, he's a little bit more.
Yeah, a bit lighter.
Yeah, and lighter he gets a couple of scenes like where he starts kind of, you know, explaining his scheme and he's really proud of it and shit like that. That were a treat.
Yeah.
I feel so. Yeah, I think it's a very solid follow up to an absolute classic.
Okay. Just to give you a little bit of extra information, In Their Movie Database score is 7.2 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes. Tomatometer is 82% and the audience score is 77%.
Right.
Okay. Straight into it, likes. Glover and Gibson together is just fucking golden.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, I'm going out on a limb here, but I don't think there's a pairing in action cinema as good as that, those two.
Oh, I think Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker might have a couple.
Put your hand.
No, you're right.
How dare you?
No, there's never been anyone close to a buddy cop. Even something like 48 Hours.
Yeah.
with the Nolte and Murphy relationship, it wasn't really a chemistry. It was more, we've just got a guy who talks a million miles an hour and is piss funny with a curmudgeonly. It wasn't necessarily the chemistry so much in that one, although it was pretty good. It's not on par with this one.
No.
And if The Rock had ever made a good movie in his life, even Kevin Hart might have
shot at it. Holy shit. You know what? Yeah. One of my personal favourites is a slight side note. And from a chemistry perspective, is actually Axel Foley and Rosewood and Taggart together.
That's good.
Because that's the sort of thing that is. They're sort of button heads, but there's some humour.
Well, the funny thing about that one is they've got the curmudgeon. But then Rosewood's kind of in the middle where he's kind of being won over.
Yeah.
And Taggart's there just kind of looking at him going, what the fuck is wrong with you? So that...
Yeah, Rosewood's all for Murphy's bullshit.
Yeah.
But just the two of them together, it's just fucking fantastic. And the... You can take it's
straight into it. We're in my wife's car.
Yeah.
It's so good.
That bit makes me laugh. Okay, get over, I'm driving. Yeah. You're not going to make it. Yeah, we'll be fine.
You're right, I'm not going to make it.
Just goes, sorry.
Yeah.
So good.
I love that it continues through the movie too. Like they're kind of, a couple of times I say, this was a new car. It still is.
Yeah, but the two of them together, it's just... They could take shit dialogue and still do heaps with it.
Yeah.
Because that's the rapport between them is extremely hard to get.
Yes.
And I actually think probably very much an offshoot of how good part one is dialogue-wise is what then sort of puts those two in this sort of position and then it just follows through into the rest of the series. Even four, if I remember correctly, still those two can get something out of it.
Yep.
I'm just going to throw this right at you. The music. I fucking love the Lethal Weapon music.
Yes.
The bluesy, the saxophone. The saxophone. Absolute top stuff.
That was that opening intro. I didn't like the saxophone at the beginning there. Because it was like it was trying to be James Bond with the flames in the background. But it just looked horrible. And I was like, this music doesn't fit.
Well, they had like... They have the kind of standard sort of action score pieces which work pretty well, but then, you know, when they've lost the bad guy and, oh, fuck, you know, what's going on here?
And for this film, we throw in some Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
We chuck Clapton in there as well. Yeah. So I love the music. I think the music's an underrated part of the series. You talked about villains.
Yep.
Matty, and not, you didn't sort of... The timelines didn't work, and obviously we'll get to that, but I think the South African, you know, drug smugglers, diplomatic immunity, I think that kind of actually kind of fit kind of with Shadow Company from the previous movie.
Yeah.
I think it fit more in sync with that.
Yeah. Mm. And it's also, I mean, they ramp up the opposition to Gibson's kind of loose cannon. Like, oh, I can do whatever the fuck I want. Well, no, you can't because you can't arrest me. You can't even give me a fucking parking ticket or whatever he kind of says. Like, I think that works reasonably well.
Who's the idiot now?
Yeah, and
diplomats generally have another job, though.
Yeah.
Other than...
you're not getting... It's not the fucking diplomatic handbook.
I think the government in South Africa would actually be asking some questions about what your employees are doing.
Excuse me? The bloke shot half a dozen people.
Well, this is the second time this week one of our employees has turned up shot dead and appeared to have been in the midst of committing a crime. I need some questions answered here.
I don't know how you gather that much cash. Yeah.
Listen, I need to talk to Rudd today about that.
He's at lunch. Well, get him back.
He's supposed to be bloody liaising with the White House this week. Silly bastard.
But for me, the diplomatic immunity adds a nice wrinkle. Because as you said, it means that they can't do anything about it.
Yep.
That is the most classic kill of kills. Correct. In Lethal Weapon.
Oh, yeah. That is the king shit of the series.
Just randomly walking around yelling out diplomatic immunity this week.
Yeah, he's walking around diplomatic immunity. Look, diplomatic immunity.
Yeah, and also, it hasn't necessarily aged well in some aspects, but the idea of that they're sort of targeting Danny Glover racially.
Yeah.
Kind of makes him just an extra level of fucking despicable. You know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
The scene when he goes into starts talking about I want to go and join my brothers for the cause or whatever.
You're black.
Is kind of funny.
Yeah. I know I'm black.
It is quite funny.
He's taking the piss.
Do we know if any of this was in the Shane Black stuff?
I don't know.
Of the South African.
I don't know.
And the Krugerrand and all that stuff.
I was actually intending to do a little bit of Googling like on that beforehand, but
see if I could. I actually would like to find the script.
I want to read.
Although
the script,
I think they said that it's no one's got it available.
Yeah.
Because it's probably Warner Brothers that has it.
I'm sure you could find a reasonably detailed kind of
synopsis. And I think there is on Wikipedia, there is actually a breakdown of what it was.
Yeah.
Action scenes, definitely handled. Mm. I do have a dislike to a little bit of it, and I will talk about it, and this is why I jumped to 3 being better action-wise.
Mm.
But I think it's all. Richard Donner knows exactly what he's doing. He's been doing it for years. Like, this is. I still find the stuff in the first one to be more to my liking.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, it's all serviceable. It's all pretty well done.
Yeah.
There's never a point where you're sitting there going, fuck, what's happened here? Like, you know, what have they done?
Yeah.
I really like the one where he's on the tow truck and the guy gets fucking decapitated by the surfboard.
The surfboard, yeah.
Like, that's a personal
favorite. I mean, it's ridiculous, but it's an exciting scene.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And so, you know, they never let you down with that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, which is always good.
And even the some of the action doesn't necessarily need to be cars moving and exploding the whole time. The sequence on the toilets, bloody great.
That is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a real big like to that.
Yeah, massive. To walk in and he just rolls that toilet paper down and the mood of the whole room just completely changes.
It's the story. I come home early. I want to sit down with myself.
We've all been there before, right?
The one with the article about the deep sea fishing? Yeah, that's the one.
He goes, do you think you can get up? I've been sitting here.
For 6 hours or something.
My legs are fucking cooked.
Oh, man.
But you know what I love the most about that sequence?
Mm.
Not only is it kind of tense because you don't know what, you don't really know. I mean, you know that they're going to survive, but there's a tension to it.
Yeah.
There's humour.
Mm.
Especially when the guy's crawling around underneath him.
Yeah.
Everyone's coming around getting photos. I don't know why there are so many people in that house. But
the kicker to the whole thing is when he goes, I'm going to die in the toilet, aren't I? And Riggs sort of chokes up for a second and goes, guys, like, you don't die in the toilet.
Yeah. But it's also, you know, when he kind of goes, Riggs, and stops the count and just looks at him, and Riggs kind of just cuts him off. He's like, I know, man. It's building up with the humour, like the whole sequence is funny, but then by the end of it, you're kind of like, oh, fuck. This can't be it. You know it's not, but they still elicit that emotion from you and that you really do care for these guys and you can kind of latch on to the care that they have for each other.
Yeah. And that's part of the pairing as well, because you wouldn't get that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get that with Tucker and Chan. Definitely would get it with Hart and Johnson. Good Lord, no.
But I think it's also the threat from the villain is they're in your house, they're near your children, they're behind your toilet. Like, this is the place where we like to spend our time, right?
You're not even safe on the crapper.
I know. I mean, next time I'm reading saltwater sports on the toilet, I want to look down and find some fucking C4 down there.
I mean,
C4 in the toilet usually when
it's
I'm
so super relatable too, because Glover's got like the 3 kids. I mean, as people that all have children, whatever, in the household, sometimes you do escape to the crapper for 20 minutes. It's just... Just that's your safe. That's your
safe haven.
It's your fortress of solitude. And Glover's fortress of solitude has been disrupted by a fucking bomb underneath it.
It's a fantastic sequence.
Yeah.
I think it's the potentially, like, to me, it's the one that I remember.
Yeah,
the most.
And it ties in with the first one. He can't even take a bath by himself.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, I did like that. Look, I said gets fucking painful, but there is some humour to be had.
Yeah.
Especially when they keep telling them to shut the fuck up every 5 minutes.
I also love, look, It's probably been overdone, but I also love his rant about the drive-thru.
Yeah,
you know, the guy at the drive-thru is like, fuck you, the drive-thru.
It's just like, shut up!
And you get stuck with a fucking tuna sandwich.
Even when you first, they first meet him and he goes, oh, what sort of gun you got there? And Riggs goes,
yeah. Getting belted in the face 5 times in the pool.
Yeah, that's right.
It's pretty good.
Punch in the head. But there is some humour to be had there.
There is, like, yeah.
And again, Pesci kind of does fit with, you know, they find a way to incorporate him,
yeah,
with the other two, whereas the subsequent films kind of overstuffed it.
Yeah.
You're and constantly said, trying to bring people in. I mean,
in part two, he's the fly in the ointment. He's got to be there because they've been assigned that gig. Every other one, because they've established that relationship, they're just, he's just around.
Yeah.
But this one, he has to be
and even,
latched to these.
Even things. Four is even worse for it.
Yeah.
It brings Pesci back. It brings Rene Russo back. It brings numerous people that have no real bearing on,
yeah,
on the proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
So this one still keeps it pretty tight. It's just the three of them, really. I do like the opening shootout and stuff in the streets. At the start, the helicopter, yeah, dropping down to pick everyone up is kind of like spectacular, and it brings that level of shit. These guys are fucking, you know,
professional.
They've got some, yeah, the professional. Plus, it brings in the Krugerrand. Yeah. That's when you find out the Krugerrand and the South African connection. And as I said, it gets a bit of mileage out of the car and wrecking the car so and everything. That stuff's piss funny. Here's one of my favourite bits of the entire film, the condom commercial.
Yeah, yeah. Brilliant.
I texted so Jan about it because it so cracks good. Me up so much.
I mean, she wanted, that made me want to go out and buy some rubbers.
That's Leo Getz's highlight. Look at this girl, she's so hot.
That's his highlight.
But the best bit of that whole bit is that the tradie bloke goes, yeah, it made me want to go out and buy some rubbers. And you see fucking Riggs go, oh.
Yeah, Riggs. He kind of just goes, walks out of the room. I love that. That was so good. Because he was, like, when they're talking to him, I'm like, yeah, okay. When you see him in the room, there's not really any reason for him to be there, but then he drops that absolute pearler. You're like, yeah, that was totally worthwhile.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, even getting the copping shit in the office with the condom tree and stuff like that.
Them sitting around as a family to watch this commercial. And everybody knows what's going on, but he's grilling the boyfriend. Yeah. Do I know you? Do I know you?
We had a conversation a week ago about your hobby room. Did you get the impression that I liked you?
He just says, George, leave.
Yeah,
outstanding. I'll tell you what, though. The South African fellas, I'm having some painting done. Bang, shoots you in the head. And then he's offside and goes, you bring the drop you shoots. Need to the word drop off.
Yeah. Also, like, later on when you're chatting to each other, he goes, I'm just checking if there's any plastic coming. I feel like that stuff's got to be Shane Black's kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know. That's his kind of bullshit. But yeah, that stuff was piss funny. This is one of my favourite sequences in the film, is where Murtaugh's wife gives Riggs the pen.
Yeah.
And then he just goes into the story about how he found it the night that he was told his wife was killed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah, the scene is really well played, really well acted. It's just a really, really good, because we didn't get that information in the first film, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
You don't actually get told how she died.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's still some lingering stuff that explains why Riggs has still got that loose cannon element.
Mm.
Not as much in this one. There's the stability of the house, but he's kind of like, he's still got that there. But there's just those couple of scenes that explain that the grief is still there, even though there's been some healing. It's still in the mix, which still works reasonably well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Putting him in the water in the straitjacket, drown him.
Call back.
Yep. And finding out that Rika's dead.
Mm.
And then he comes out of the water.
That was such a change of pace. You're just like, he's going to get out of the straitjacket. Yeah. He's going to probably, he's probably going to take one of them out on the off the top of the pier.
Yeah.
And then he sees the body. Yeah. It's cool.
And from that point on, he's in full blown kind of
crazy mode.
There's no reasoning with him. Like, he's.
Yeah.
That's when he actually gets mad. Not when they fill his house full of lead.
Yeah. He's kind of, there's a moment when that's going on, he's kind of thriving on that shit.
Yeah.
He likes it in a way. But yeah,
him once popping up on the roof.
Involved,
All that stuff kind of, that brings back the rigs of old.
Yes.
And, I mean, the stuff that I read pretty much indicates that Shane Black was not happy from this one onward. Because he basically said that they took away what
the darkness.
Riggs was, Like the character as he envisioned him was the dark, really dark sort of character.
Mm.
So Black had a different take on where he wanted to go with it. And obviously, you know, Warner Brothers saw dollars.
Of course.
And you can't,
and killed the franchise.
Yeah, the darker the darker you make it, the harder you pull people through the door.
Yeah.
So I can see why they went the way they went. Pulling down a house on stilts with a ute?
Yeah.
I've got questions. It's commonly known as a fucking axle of your car. Yeah, I think you'll find that pops out.
Might be some strain there.
But cool way to sort of bring it down, like, and to also showcase that, he's right off the fucking planet. He's lost. Yeah. He's right off it. And then we get to that Albert Varden and the shootout there. And look, you know, it's not on par with the fight with Mr. Joshua.
No.
But his fight with Peter's not bad.
Yep.
Like it's tidy.
Yep.
It doesn't last very long.
No, it doesn't.
Whereas him and Joshua really threw down. It's a
spectacular end, though.
Yeah. That is the fact. It's just been revoked.
Good line.
I love that.
I like it.
But even the case,
at the moment.
The shipping container.
Yeah, shipping container with the... Yeah, on it. Yeah, that's right. But that was where I was with likes. Anything else that's really tickled you guys? Specifics?
Well, yeah, I know he was super cheesy, but what's Rudd's name? Joss Ackland?
Yeah, Joss Ackland.
He's just a good actor.
Yeah.
And so even with an accent that's questionable, he kind of...
Oh, it's questionable.
He's... You can buy him.
Yeah.
As the head of that crew.
He's got that oily kind of style about him. He works at
Clockwork. Yeah, I don't buy him fulfilling his diplomatic duties, but I buy him as the
operation. No, I would not be sending him over to fucking liaise with anybody about anything.
Yeah. But yeah, the villains are slimy enough and you enjoy what you're getting from them.
Yeah, agreed. Maddie, anything else from you?
The love sequence with the Beach Boys in the background.
Yeah.
Where it made me laugh. It wasn't very good, but it made me laugh.
I can't remember what was it.
It's Kuzuka.
How to romance
a
woman. Put on the
And then give her your Letterman jacket.
Yeah, but you know what? 89 Mel Gibson could romance a woman with anything.
Yeah.
whereas we needed more than that. But we need a whole sort of... I need a tea. Like, I need a full frame. Yeah, it takes a bit of work.
No, I just put on Kokomo and everything.
Yeah. And 5 minutes later, she's happy.
Well, I was going to say 3.5 minutes later, they're still a little bit lacking. But
I deliver a sterling ending. I really lift my game to the end. All right, into the dislikes. One of the things that I had some questions on, and look, it's a dislike for me, but it's a little bit sort of in the middle. I just don't know whether there was a need to link Riggs' wife's death to the South African drug smugglers.
100%.
And even though the explanation is kind of plausible, that you were getting too close when you were a narc back in... It just, there was no need. Like, to me, he turned into a loose cannon because of Rico.
Getting so close. He didn't know what the accent was. He didn't know.
Yeah, he knew nothing about Krugerrands. He knew nothing.
And if you're running someone off the road, like, did you really mistake his wife for him?
Well, he did have a mullet that was already rocking, so he might have thought that it was...
Yeah, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't kind of Vince Neil, dude looks like a lady kind of territory.
I don't know, it was close. I mean, Melody's Peak, that thing was pretty perm-like.
He definitely sat and watched some Barbarian Brothers and said, I want that.
I mean, if he was sitting low in the seat and all you could see was the hair, maybe.
It's kind of semi-plausible, but not. Because, as you say, and that's a good thing that I didn't think of, is he had no context to the South African accent or anything else.
No.
If he was that close, I think he does say you were close to our partners. But that still doesn't... Like, to me, you're adding this personal connection in an effort to try and...
We didn't seem to be back to the first one.
They killed his wife. They didn't finish the job. Like, if you're bothering to kill the bloke's wife, you're going to finish him off at some point.
Mm. Yeah. Did you not realise?
Why are you killing her if you're not going to let him know about it?
He says, I lifted back the mop of hair or whatever and saw that it was a woman. So you knew you didn't do the job.
So what, you just left it?
Yeah, that doesn't pass muster, that one.
It doesn't gel. It doesn't jolly.
Yeah.
What's your timeline issues?
Yeah, what are the timeline issues?
Oh, just if you're... The amount of money that they're laundering, how long would it take to accumulate that cash?
In the fucking shipping container, it would have taken a while, I think.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, and that needs to be laundered through car washes and calligraphy stores and all sorts of bullshit.
$1 million of loose Krugerrand in the boots. Didn't seem to be bagged up or anything.
It wasn't even one of those little bags that has like $50 equals that's what
it's just
seemed
any paper rolls, nothing. Just seemed like they dumped it straight into the boot.
Yeah. And also it moves like there's a human in there. He's like, fuck, that made a sound. What was it? A lump of
a lump of loose change. A massive lump of loose change. That's all it was.
And in my experience, that doesn't go thumb, but goes like that, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a little bit questionable.
It's just silly. And then to be a diplomat and have that much power and to be running this side operation
clearly not doing anything else.
No benefits.
And
no,
what I love is they turn up
running into each other in like a James Bond benefit where they were like either working as security guards or some sort of
It
wasn't like there was one guy who was fulfilling diplomatic duties and saying what are you blokes doing? I need some help here.
He'd walk into the room and there's a heap of blokes with those money counters.
I'm running the show. It was just Rudd running the show and everyone was an out and out crim. I don't think any of them had worked a public service job in their lives.
So that was questionable stuff.
Yeah. And the girl as well, like she's just sitting here copying all of this abuse.
She had problems with their shit. Too. She was like, I don't agree with what they're doing. You fucking what? Get out of there.
Well, I love my criminals. Job. I get to live in LA.
What?
Yeah. That's not good enough for me.
Yeah, right.
He was like, I'm in.
There's more going on.
His eyebrows started wobbling at that point.
And that's my second dislike. That relationship is very undercooked.
Yeah.
Extremely undercooked. I mean,
for starters, she seems smitten with him after she finds out that he stalked her to the fucking grocery store. That's not something you should be pleased
with. If he drops, my wife's dead, and I'm a burnout cop as well.
Yeah.
I mean, and I've been stalking you for hours.
Yep.
I mean, colour me smitten too.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Because the problem is, like, when he first...
I mean, Ted Bundy never pulled that shit.
When he first encounters her and Rudd's kind of in the background telling her, get in here, whatever, that part, you can see he's a little bit charming. He's kind of like, oh, you know, this guy's an arsehole or whatever. He's playing a little bit there. And you can see, all right, there's a little bit of something there, but then he goes straight to, I followed you to the grocery store and blah, blah, blah. I mean, seemingly, in their time, it's about 45 minutes later they're in the sack. Basically, I was like, that's not working. Sure.
No, but this is a thing. It's another one of these, you're using the Gibson charm and the Gibson magnetism in the late 80s, early 90s to sell the fact that she would love Martin Riggs.
Yes.
You know, when, let's be honest, Martin Riggs would have a hard time other than knocking out one night stands. Because he wouldn't be a guy that you could spend a lot of time
around. Yeah, it's one of those elements of the movie that has aged a little bit poorly.
Yeah.
And also, it's fridging at its finest. She basically is just there to give him a little bit of background info and then provide a motivation for him to go
nuts,
bonkers at the end. Like,
I said before, Leo does get breaking after a little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah. and it's not Pesci's fault. Because to me, the performance is still fine.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing in the performance that's bad.
It's got a bit of nuance to it. He's given him some character.
Yeah, and a guy of that calibre, you're going to get a decent performance. But he does great after a while. And a little bit you feel like, I think near towards the end I started to feel like, listen, can you fuck off and let these two guys do what they do?
Mm. Yeah, but what is the thing for me is, that's all intentional.
Yeah, of course.
And I think it for me, it hits the mark. I feel like you're kind of laughing at him when you're supposed to, and you're kind of like, oh, fuck, get out of the way when you're supposed to as well. Like,
he has purpose, at the very least.
Yeah.
He has purpose in this film.
Yeah.
There's a reason that gets us there.
Yeah. I was laughing when he's talking about his scheme. He's like, I'm a genius or whatever. And they're like, you're a crook. You're a cheat or whatever. And then they kind of start talking about why they pissed off. Well, you know, I was skimming a bit off the top. How much? 10,000, 20,000 here and there. Who's going to notice? Drug dealers are going to notice.
I'm trying to see how Joey P would have played the role. That would have been interesting.
It would have been interesting. He has that similar type of fast-talking type of delivery.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be as goofy.
He seems more of the heavy kind of... Whereas Pesci has played that, but can also pull off the... comedy. I want to be part of the.
Yeah.
I want to be part of the crowd. You know, like. I feel like. Yeah.
You know. Oh, no. He did it to such acclaim in Gone Fishing. So.
Okay. Know. Okay. Jeez, that's a cheap shot.
It's also a Danny Glover's expense too, because he's in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. The last one for me is that there are a couple of moments during the action scenes where they resort to slow motion, like the car bursting out of the.
Yeah.
The big tank thing full of cash, the house being pulled down on stilts, and I just looked at it and I just thought, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, why? Why are you doing that?
It's got to show how spectacular their stunt work
was. But the problem is it looks more spectacular than to do it in fast motion.
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
I think so.
And Donna had done that for the majority of the film.
Yeah.
So why do you suddenly fucking go down that route?
Yeah.
I was a little bit baffled by those choices.
Yeah. I have one more.
Didn't pass muster for you.
Why are the guys, when they're breaking into into houses, they're speaking in their thick South African accents? It's like, if you just shut up, they would have had no idea.
Yeah. Just some fucking random thugs who didn't speak.
The only lead they had was your accent. Seriously, when we get to the end, you know, Murtaugh's coming in, he's going, oh, yeah, they're speaking. Some sort of accents, and they put it together, and then it's like, oh, Kruger Ed, oh, fuck, there we go. Like, we've got a link. Outside of that, they had nothing. So, when you bust
people's houses. We've had $5 million worth of Kruger Ed in the boot, and then this dickhead comes in and starts talking Afrikaans to me.
Yeah.
Shit, South Africans.
It's pretty racist that the only criminals are also diplomats.
It's racist
to the whole country.
It is, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. South Africa's come out badly there.
It has.
Anything else?
Mm.
Dislike-wise?
The heavy-handedness of the racism in the bank as well didn't seem quite well with me. But it's like, I don't know, it was part of the plot, but
yeah,
it just was uncomfortable, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was just, I mean, it was part and parcel of the, as we've just, basically just the point that Adam just made too, that it was just broad strokes.
Yeah.
South African community is really
foreigners. Any foreigners? Yeah. That's most movies, right?
Yeah,
he's got an English accent. He's
a and in the guy. In the late 80s, that shit was getting trotted out.
But you know, it allows Mel Gibson to be in his comfort zone. So
yeah, true. Mel had absolutely no problems with that part of the script.
He read the script and he read not foreign enough. Yeah.
Can we get you some religious stuff as well?
Yeah. Oh man.
Oh, and possibly I should call Rika Sugar Tits.
Sugar Tits is going to be in there somewhere.
All right, so that's everything. Yeah, everyone's happy there.
Pretty much it.
Right, okay, so that's Lethal Weapon 2. Pretty good case there.
Pretty solid.
That's a solid case.
Yeah, you're pushing shit up.
I am pushing shit uphill. I think there's some fucking bricks in the wheelbarrow. But let's take a quick break. And here is the trailer for 1992's Lethal Weapon 3.
I'm thinking we should cut the blue wire.
Hey, wait!
What?
That's not what I'm thinking.
What, do you think maybe the red?
No. I'm thinking that it's 8 minutes and 42 seconds. We can go upstairs, wait for the bomb squad, and have a cappuccino.
I'm cutting the red wire, okay?
Help! Oh!
What?
A minute ago you said blue.
Nearly a catastrophe, huh?
I'm cutting the wire. Simple. See?
All done. Rog.
They're back. Lethal Weapon 3.
Hiya, QB. Hey, we're looking for a friend of yours named Travis.
Hell, I've never heard of him.
See something, Rog. She has a gift. What's this?
Are you okay, honey?
I just break.
Hey, Riggs, it's five of them, man.
Yeah, I know.
My girl.
I never made it with another sergeant before.
Shut up, Riggs. Hello, Car 54, where are you?
The only thing they do contribute is mayhem and chaos.
Chaos and he's mayhem.
You have the right to remain unconscious. Anything you say ain't gonna be much.
Back to bed. Lethal Weapon 3 from 1992. Once again directed by Richard Donner. Once again produced by Donner and Joel Silver. The story is by Jeffrey Boehm, and the screenplay is by Jeffrey Boehm and Robert Mark Kamen, who wrote Taken. And it's based on characters created by Shane Black. We've got Mel Gibson as Martin Riggs, Danny Glover as Roger Murta, Joe Pesci as Leo Getz, Renee Russo as Lorna Cole, and Stuart Wilson as Jack Travis. The budget was $35 million, and the box office was $321 million worldwide. Carrie Fisher was an uncredited script doctor on this film.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. Very surprising. Just a little bit of info. IMDb score 6.7. Rotten Tomatoes 58% and audience score of 61.
Ah,
so the drop off is quite substantial.
It is.
All right. Jared?
Okay. So there is certainly moments of the stuff that you loved between Glover and Gibson in this one. Leo does start to wear a little more. I feel like the villain...
He has less screen time, I believe.
He has less screen time, yeah. I feel like the villain... It's a sound idea, you know, tried and true. The guy that used to be on our side.
Yeah.
But there's just nothing there. There's no explanation for why. There's no connection to somebody that we can go with. There seemed to be one with the captain, but they never really explain the connection with him. I've got some issues with Riggs that I'll go into.
Right.
And I feel like it's lacking any of the emotional beats that worked in the previous ones. It tries to lean heavier on the comedy.
And it does actually switch the emotional stuff to Glover.
It does. And
for this one.
Part of that, again, part of that works okay.
Yeah.
But it's also on a flimsy base.
Yeah.
It's on a house on stilts that's currently being yanked down by
a Dodge Ram.
So, yeah, that's where I'm at for this one.
Okay. Matty?
Yeah, definitely a bit goofier. It missed out on some massive opportunities. And as we said over here, the villain's a lot weaker. Like, there's nothing there. There's gaps where you forget all about them. And even the finale, as spectacular as it is, it's just, he's a simple, like, he's killed a few cops. It's not the same scale that we're sort of used to with these movies. So it wasn't as good, but definitely, like we said, the connection between the two makes it a Lethal Weapon movie, and if it didn't have that, then it'd be a generic action movie.
For me, I feel a bit the same. It still has moments, and there are some things I felt they brought in that really work. And I personally feel the action sequences are probably, for me personally, as best directed as any of them.
Mm.
But they lean too much on the humour. Leo Getz is there for no apparent reason. And they try and sort of cut him in on some of it. And it's kind of like, that's fucking flimsy as.
Well, it's so flimsy,
you're saying that he somehow knows Jack Travis?
Yeah.
It's just bullshit. Like,
sort of
like
a bit of party with a monkey on his shoulder.
Exactly. It's like,
that doesn't make any sense.
The most believable part was the real estate agent.
Yeah, that was better. And in fact, if they'd have stuck just with that as like a cameo for him, we could have got past Leo, but they continue to bring him back.
Yeah.
Within it. And the villains, I'm with you. The villains are, and it's not the fault of the actor.
No.
The actor's fine. I think the actor's really good.
Yep.
But he's just got nothing to work with. Like, who is Jack Travis? A fucking disgraced ex-cop. Yeah, who seems to walk back into the police station willy fucking nilly.
Yeah, that's right.
Honestly, some of that shit I was just scratching my head going, what's happening?
Yeah.
Don't you need a swipe card or something to get in the door?
Got to be some checks and balances here.
Come on. Mm. So it's you can see the fall away of the series.
Yeah. It starts strong. You've got a 10 out of 10. I've got to retire in 10 days and you've got a perfect framework for what's going to happen up ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
And
the,
you've got
actual putting a number on the days.
So good.
It's good, yeah.
Something you don't really see, right?
I'm not going to lie, some of the humour works well.
Yep.
But once again, it's the two of them that make it work.
Yes.
And that's your first like, is it once again, it's like a pair of slippers, you know? They just seem to be able to step back into this and just give you exactly what... And this is the one with the least impressive dialogue.
It is.
So they've got to work harder to get it to work.
But you still get a few laughs out of it.
Yeah. Murtaugh's, I mean, for some reason, like I still laugh heartily about the discussions about wearing a girdle.
Yeah.
He goes, saying, fucking, you should have gone to cheat in Alpine. I did go to cheat. That sort of shit is funny. Like, it just, those two managed to wring a heap out of it.
Yeah. And they, you know, they bring it back when he's in the shooting range. I've tweaked my back lifting weights this morning.
I actually think Lorna Cole is a good addition. I found her involvement to be something that was kind of necessary to breathe some extra life back into things.
Yeah.
And the fact that she's tough, no nonsense, on par with Riggs's skills and shit. It kind of worked for me.
Yeah.
It does actually work.
Well, Renee Russo, quality actress.
Yeah.
And the character actually has a purpose to you know, coming in and getting involved in their case.
As the feds or whatever they are.
Yeah, kind of sparks, you know.
And again,
interest about why are they here, and then he starts withholding shit like that. But actually, that back and forth works well to a point.
Oh, I think I still can't stop laughing at their interactions in the elevator. You're not wearing a body armor. Let me see if you've got yours on. And Glover takes him to the corner.
Yeah.
Like, that sort of shit works all right. Mm-hmm. And those two have good chemistry together. It works really well together.
Yeah, she's got good banter. She's happy to slap him down and put him in his place. And it's something that he obviously never hears.
Yeah. So I was happy with that. Music again. Loved it.
I love the fact
you throw in Elton John and... Eric Clapton at the end, and Sting and Eric Clapton. It's Probably Me, which I think is really good.
It's the best. It's the best intro. The second one. Sorry, just goes straight into the action sequence. This one, the flames and the song and shit like that. It's quality stuff.
Yeah, I like that.
The good opening credits there.
Yeah, I said before, I feel the action stuff is as good as it's been.
Yeah.
In the series, it's shot really clean. You can see everything that's happening. It's all done really, really well. They don't resort to going to fucking slow motion every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
To try and kind of sell some of it.
Yeah.
And I think for the most part, it's they change it up enough.
You lose yourself in it a few times. That chase sequence with the armored car.
Yeah, I think that one's fantastic. Yeah,
the armored car stuff is good.
Mm. Even the end ones.
Where everything's on fire and they're shooting through
the... Yeah, it's survival. They're getting shot at. There's people shooting from around the corner and multiple angles. It feels a bit like a computer game at times, but it's pretty good.
And I really like the opening sequence where they're dismantling the bomb and he's...
Yeah.
Cut the blue wire, cut the red wire.
Yeah.
Aren't you going to miss this?
I've got a massive problem with it, but the banter and the interaction between the two of them is just exactly how you want it.
But I've got a huge problem. That's what the fucking bomb squad's for.
Yeah.
Fellas.
Well, they roll up 2 seconds after they get out.
I love the way you just say, I do get a laugh when he goes, it's similar to the first movie when he goes, do you know anything about... negotiating? Oh, yeah, I've done that shit before. He just goes up. And this one, he does exactly the same thing. Yeah. Mom's got to be 20 minutes away.
The result is that you fucking destroy
an entire
building. And the captain just kind of shakes it off like, oh, well, that's what these two fuckers do.
That's millions of dollars of damage.
You'd be... Put aside for a bit longer than...
We're going to garnish your wages, you twat.
It's not like you had a fucking fender bender in the police car. You've just demolished a fucking building. Anyway.
It's a cool way to start, though.
Yeah, well, it provides those two the opportunity to, Riggs to just do what he does. Murtaugh to try to be the voice of reason and kind of start getting into his... I mean, Danny Glover is at his peak in this series where he's just kind of at his wit's end with what to do with Riggs, basically.
He's going to cut the red wire. Did I say the blue wire? All right, I meant the red wire. Did you? That stuff is... It is good, but yeah, you're right. The bomb squad says, listen, fuckwits, get out of there.
Bomb squad, they kind of look at him and Riggs Murtaugh are just kind of there going, oops. And the bomb squad's giving him the little golf clap and you're like, no, you're in serious trouble.
Yeah.
Someone's insurance isn't going to cover all this damage.
Coming back to the armoured car chase, I do like the fact that it's all happening, that the action scene is really, really well done. And then... Meanwhile, we've got Dolores busily hitting on. Okay.
Yeah. 24 years. 24 years.
But it's
yeah, I love that shit.
That's the kind of shit that could get tiresome, but in that particular sequence,
it doesn't.
Works. It works. Sugar. Well.
Yeah. Now, this one was a difficult one for me. I had it in the likes because I did like the fact that they gave Murtaugh the emotional angle, which was the shootout with Daryl and then killed him.
Yes.
Had to kill him.
Yep.
And I really liked the sequence in the boat.
Yeah.
Where Riggs is going, it was a clean shoot. Like, he would have killed all of us.
Again, I've got a problem with the boat sequence in particular, but that idea was fine. That's the only real part of the movie for me that does actually hit with the emotion of it.
And, I also like, we're in the middle of a case.
of scotch.
Yeah. But I thought that was an opportunity lost. I should have followed that through. You've got Riggs getting out of his funk, and he's found someone that could potentially be stable to be with.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, retirement's scary. And
Danny could have gone off the deep end.
Yeah, like, that's
I
right.
think that would have worked well.
Yeah, yep. Give old Mel an opportunity to show that he can be the stable hand.
Yeah.
The positive out of it was the father-son stuff, I think. They got a little bit of emotion out of that, and because Murtagh had been the family man throughout the previous pictures, you got this little bit of the relationship with the son that you hadn't had in previous ones.
And I think some of that worked all right.
It was always the door.
It was a little clunky. That was all. To me, it was a bit clunky. Like, there were moments where you could have really rammed it home and with some a better polish.
I mean, get another dinger commercial in there. Really
ram things up. Oh, yeah. But a little better polish, another polish of that with another writer, perhaps, that could have teased out some of that, more of that, because I think that would have been really, really good.
A white person definitely wrote the word sequence.
Correct. Yeah. Definitely. Jeffrey Boehm is whiter than white. So I kind of liked it, although, Riggs, you do not go to a fucking funeral in jeans, a collared shirt with no tie, a suit jacket, and cowboy boots.
Yeah.
Nobody goes there.
That's why Murtagh got slapped. She wasn't worried that you killed her son. She was like, "Your fucking partner."
He looks like a bag of shit. Get him out of here. I mean, have some respect. I said this in Nightmare on Elm Street 4. Have some respect. Somebody died recently. Okay.
Yeah. The least you could do is iron a line into a pair of slacks.
It's not hard. It is not that hard. And you know what? If one of you blokes comes to my funeral in a pair of fucking jeans, I'm getting up.
I was about to say that. He had some women fucking crawl out of your coffin.
He had other things to do that day. He had some women to stalk in the supermarket.
You disrespectful bastard.
Yeah, he's watched me do. He's like, sorry, I've got to go head down to the local supermarket.
Pepsi makes a phone number. That's all I need.
Yeah. Sorry, Danny, I know you're doing it tough, but I've got ladies to store. Yeah, I've got my good jeans on. Are you fucking serious? There's no such thing. Unless you've ironed a crease in the front. And he was, I think he was busting out acid wash or something like that.
Yeah.
Come on, fellas. I do like the foreplay bit involving him and Lorna when they're comparing scars about who got what. I thought that was okay.
Classic.
And I think that actually works. And it kind of just creates that little bit of chemistry between them.
Mm. Yeah.
I can buy that they've got a relationship more than I can buy him and Rika had one. Yeah. I can't even put it that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. She was pretty vacant.
Yeah.
She had nothing going for her.
Yeah. That's the line I'm on too.
He's got it. Knows his reputation as a psychopath, though.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, does she?
She does.
Was she made aware of his reputation as a psycho?
Talking about him in the office.
Oh, yeah.
Mayhem and Chaos.
He's Mayhem. We're a double act.
And we've all been around somebody like that.
Yeah, look, and taking that into this light, yes, she should have known better.
She would have known better.
She was far smarter enough to know
the other thing is
a fucking lunatic.
The other thing is, there was no mention of I've worked so hard for my career or anything like that to get involved with scum like you, which would have been
tossed away with some fuckwit that can't even dress up for a funeral.
won't even trim his mullet to keep his job.
You should not be getting laid. Looking like that, you fucking scumbag. All right.
Are we going into dislikes?
We're almost there.
We're getting there.
I do like the sequence where you see Cole kick the shit out of five guys And fucking Murtar and Riggs are just standing around.
Yeah.
Ooh, grabbed his cluster.
Yes. Yeah, grabbed his cluster. Yeah, I did like that one.
He's fanboy.
He's there going, watch this. Like, watch this. Well, should I help?
She's my girlfriend.
She's my girlfriend.
Yeah, I've got a slight problem with when your right-hand man looks a little bit like the bearded era Stephen King. He's not exactly striking fear into people's hearts.
But she beats the shit out of him. I like that because, again, we get that she's tough and capable.
Look, I can't scare you physically, but if you read my latest book, I bet you'll shit yourself.
We'll watch Maximum Overdrive.
He looked like a computer programmer for sure.
Again, my last two likes are, we get back-to-back action sequences, the shootout at down in the rail tunnels, and the motorbike chase is really good. And I do like how he dislocates his shoulder and then puts it back in.
Yeah.
And then the shootout down at the housing development where everything's on fire and, you know, they're using the fucking cop killer bullets and everything like
that. Yeah.
It all plays really, really well.
It's all pretty solid. Yeah.
It's really, really played.
You forgot to mention that you called a surprise witness on me.
Hey.
Sven Ole Thorsen.
Was he in it?
Yeah.
What?
In the shootout in the...
Hell, I think I've got you.
When Gibson tames the dog.
Yeah.
And then that's he goes Sven. Into... Yeah, Sven's thug number two or something like that.
Classic Sven.
I think that's his most played role, is like thug two or thug three. Or it's one of those things where you're kind of vaguely aware that he's in it, but you forgot about it.
Mm.
I forgot to prepare my fucking defence for Sven.
Sven tore you up.
So in cross-examination, I got smacked
down. Yeah, absolutely.
When Sven showed up.
Well, I think that was the 80 part of it I won, to be honest.
I did enjoy the dog part.
Yeah. I did like that. All that
him
stuff,
taking a bite cool. of the biscuit.
Yeah. with three dog people in the room, that was obviously that went down very well with all of us, I'd imagine.
And what did you say to her? Don't run, or he'll chase you down and kill you.
But I love it. It's that when they're tearing away from the scene, he's like, he's got to wait for the dog, and the dog looks so fucking happy when he jumps onto the truck. And he's like, he's
loving the dog. Is a lot shit. More likable than Joe Pesci.
Correct. Be honest. See, they bring back Pesci and that whole fucking shot with the dum-dum bullet and all that bullshit that they go with. Like, that stuff was unfunny.
Mm.
Like, it just did not... Although, I did like the fact they put him down for a proctologist. That is the first thing I'm writing on your chart any time.
You got his ball sack shaved and all that.
They shaved my death and reach.
Look, I got a slight chuckle when he's walking off the ice and he's kind of like... He's got that moment of... The entire series, he's just looking for that moment where he's part of the crew. He's a hero. And he's like... He gets it when the crowd's there at the ice hockey.
We're back. We're back. Do I get a gun? No. It's just... Going into dislikes, unless there's other likes. Got any other likes? Anyone?
I think we
can't. Anyone? Come on.
Well,
that's awesome.
So I've got problems with Jack Travis, but I think the start of it is fine.
Where they put the guy in the.
Yeah, he changes direction real quick from being a bad guy to being a real bad guy.
Yeah, but if the issue falls later in the film where there's no explanation for who the bloke is.
Yeah,
but prior to that, I was like, okay, well we've had this work effectively in other action movies. The cop turning the person with the knowledge of how this shit operates.
It's actually very interesting because it does actually mirror somewhat Speed.
Yeah,
because that's what Dennis Hopper was. Yes. He was a disgruntled cop.
Hang on, you've seen Speed, haven't you, Matt?
Yeah.
So you check that one in.
You had not seen Speed, I would have just fucking thrown you out of
here. I've read the article on how him and Sandra Bullock were in love with each other but never really let it loose about seven times. It's in my Twitter feed.
I think that's fine, but the difference is, and funnily enough, isn't that Keanu's name?
Jack Travers,
pretty close. But it's Hopper, they expand on the story about why he did what he did.
Yeah.
Whereas Jack Travers...
You just don't do it in this one.
Doesn't have... Oh, yeah, he used to fucking get a confession out of anyone. He was ruthless.
He was dirty.
He had all these fucking citations and shit like that. Well, okay, let's expand on that.
But why is he in business like this now?
Correct. That's what we need to know.
Did he get fired? Was he thrown out on a technicality? Was he asked by the job and he's held a grudge?
Yeah, like, and how did he become top of the tree with this criminal fucking element? Because as you said, the performance is fine. There's points where, you know, where he gets on the phone and he's like, let's, you know, make it simple. You back out of this deal, I'll fucking kill you, basically, and things like that. That work fine. But the characterization is just a little flimsy.
Yeah, definitely.
He lets out a little giggle after he puts that guy in cement.
Yeah.
And I just was like, I hate that laugh.
Yeah.
If you ever go back and watch it, look for the little
better check.
Thankfully, he stows that shit after doing it there.
Yeah, he does it
maybe
once,
use it one other time.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, that just sounded really off.
Yeah, it looked like.
So going into the dislikes. Leo gets, I think we covered the fact that Leo is really not, he doesn't have purpose. There is no purpose.
Mm.
In a way.
It's just bringing the band back together, you know.
Him selling the house for Murtaugh could have been his only involvement,
yep.
And that would have been perfectly fine.
Yeah,
probably would have been better.
It's a 5-minute sequence where he does his shtick and that's it. But they keep bringing him back. I know that guy, you know, he's got tickets at the ice hockey.
Yeah. Well, how do you know that?
Yeah, but how? Yeah. Oh, so a friend of a friend. But it's so fucking flimsy.
Yeah.
It's flimsy.
And they don't even use that to expand on Jack's story.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is the bloke?
Basically. So I think Leo unfortunately feels like he's just being kind of parachuted into it.
Yeah.
I'm Leo, and I know you guys are biased towards this, but his frosted tips.
Oh. Why would we be biased? Yeah, expand upon why we're biased. But is it because we've done this?
They didn't look as good as when we had
them. Oh, I disagree.
I didn't even have frosted tips. I just dumped the whole fucking thing on my head. There was no tipping about it. It was just...
Well, I was paying $40 with your mate Con, getting fucking conned out of the money.
His name was Con because after he cut your hair, he'd say, you want a Vivi cap? It'll put a bit of moisture in your hair.
What did you call it? $50? What did you used to call it? Fool's cap.
Fool's cap. Yeah.
You're getting fool's cap. Oh, I used to get fool's cap all the time. Because what they do is they go, put a bit of it in your hair, and then I go, they pour it in there, and that's $20.
the funniest time that ever happened to you was, we basically had a pep talk. You were like, you're not going to get me this time. I am not having the Vivi cap. Next time I spoke to you. Yeah, they got me.
That's equivalent of getting back with your ex.
Well, basically, yes. I was told to make a clean break. I fucking failed. And you know what? You only got one more tip out of the Vivi cap, so you're $20 worth of pinch of shit.
You know what was even funnier than that was obviously I knew Con through my dad.
Yeah.
Me and you I'd been fucking riding you about the Vivi cap for years, and then my old man comes home one day with his little tiny bottle of Vivi cap.
Oh, Con put me onto this thing. He said,
"It's a little bit of moisture and bounce to it."
It does have the curls.
I reckon it was water.
I remember opening my cupboard in the bathroom, and there was about 5 of those Vivi cap bottles. I've got to stop doing this.
I'm just disgusted with myself.
I then moved hairdressers to avoid this sort of shit ever again.
Okay.
They overdo the humour. The darker elements are pretty much gone. There are no real dark elements. The death of Daryl is as close as you get.
Yep.
But even then, I don't feel like it's dark
enough.
He's
in the movie for 2 seconds prior to being killed.
Yeah, so Daryl's nobody.
So it's all, and I guess that's okay because it's all connected to, it's trying to get Riggs and Riggs' son. That's what it's trying to work with. Murtaugh and Murtaugh's son. That's what it's trying to work with. But outside of that, there's just none of it. There's nothing for Riggs.
No. Riggs is dead set. Riggs is fucking normal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm taking this into a different dislike. Mm-hmm. It's my biggest problem with the movie. Riggs is a fucking jerk in this one.
Yeah,
he's a fucking he's just an asshole from go to woe, basically. So the start, yeah. I mean, he blows up the fucking the building.
Yeah.
Obviously, we spoke about the boat scene. I had this, it's a little bit later, but he's basically blaming Murtaugh for fucking wanting to retire and get out of the...
Yeah.
I mean, if I'd been dealing with you for the last decade, I'd be wanting to retire too. Like, it's not my fault. I'm not responsible for you. You can still come over to my house and raid my fridge, but I'm just not going to work with you anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
So I didn't love
Riggs
that part.
Riggs kind of makes it like, about him.
It comes out in the final scene that there's a little bit of Riggs kind of moving on and you know, he wants to be with Lorna. But prior to that, it's just the same old Riggs from the other two movies, or trying to be the same old Riggs from the other two movies without that emotional backbone.
Yeah.
And the grief angle.
Yeah.
He's kind of too far removed from it almost to still be acting like that.
Yeah.
So it comes off as...
And we'd kind of closed the door on all the grief with his wife in two.
Yeah, a little
so
bit.
So we'd kind of closed the door a touch on that. So they couldn't go back and mind that.
I actually think... They should have fucking, you know how they keep on brushing off the psychologist in the...
Yeah. They actually should have had him sit down with the psychologist and get it out.
Hash some of it out to illustrate that it doesn't just go away.
Yeah. Mm. But see, that's more in the Shane Black.
Yes. Line. And it's exactly
and
what you said.
And that's not what they were.
It's the dollars. We want, all we care about now is it's the loose cannon and the guy that's trying to deal with him.
Yeah. So and they're riffing with each other and they're having great fun and we love it. We want to be in the cinema to see them.
And I think Riggs was the one that suffered. Riggs got lost in that.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, true. The film is probably more focused on Glover. But still
like
not,
said, that was
still
an
not
opportunity
to the extent
missed.
It should have been.
That was an opportunity missed. You could have had him getting really dark and treating people like shit for once instead of just say, like, could have treated his family poorly because he was worried or concerned about that retirement. And
And you had Lorna there to, as you said, allow Riggs to be in a good space for once.
Yeah, so stable. Right. He becomes a stable.
You could have switched that dynamic and would have still may had you. You've got some grit and then you've got some entertainment.
Glover, 5 days out from retirement, has just shot his mate's friend and he's fucking lost. He doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
So switch the dynamic and turn him into the one that goes fucking rogue.
Yeah.
And Riggs has to pull him back in, get him back.
Yeah.
And that's why he stays on.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't touch on that.
Riggs goes so far rogue, and he's just in the second one.
Yeah.
And he's just, even though he does some stupid shit in the third one, he's just middle of the road.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Comes straight down the line.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, you're spot on. Missed opportunity. Mm. You could have had Murtaugh as the one who's lost his way.
Mm.
And Riggs has to come, get him back in.
Yeah.
And that could have been really good. I think that could have really been an interesting way to switch it. But they weren't interested in that.
Mm.
The script is very by the numbers for the action of that.
It's very simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
We were talking about it before, but if Rene Russo's character flipped and turned
she
out to
was
be the Travis, bad guy,
Travis's connection.
That's how he
that
could get into
been
the
cool.
police station.
Because that would have put it, that would have then put Riggs back on his fucking crazed.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was stable.
Yeah.
And it's flipped on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I've got to go up against her. Like I've got to take her out.
Yeah, that's that right. Could have actually been.
And maybe him pulling and Murtaugh pulling the pieces back together is why he wants to hang around, or part of why he wants to hang around.
Because he knows that Riggs can't do this.
Mm.
Can't be kept in check without him.
Yeah. I'll say as well, when he announces that he's not retiring, his family takes that very, very, very well.
Yeah.
They are laughing and giggling.
Where I'd be going, dude, if fucking time is up.
If I told my wife that I was planning retirement, we're going to go on a holiday together.
Yeah.
And then said, no, actually.
He says 10 more years.
10 more years.
10 more years. Fuck. 10 weeks. Tell me 10 weeks and I'll go with you. But 10 years. Jesus Christ.
A year.
And
I'll give you a
why
year.
Why are we still okay with it, with the whole family just fucking
gathering
around?
The bath.
Daddy's got his cock hanging out the bath.
Yeah, just because there's bubbles there, there's not.
Because Leo gets makes it pretty clear that everyone can see his old fella.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's no bubbles.
I mean,
that's
fuck.
Why he's going back to work. That explains. Yeah.
No, I think he had a washcloth.
Oh, he might have had.
Or in daddy's case, he had a fucking beach towel. Yeah, he had a beach towel down there, but still.
But he's, I mean, I'm pretty sure his daughters would be saying, "Mum, we'll meet you downstairs."
Yeah. Look, I'm 25. I don't need to see my dad wrinkly old dick anymore. Holy shit.
Honestly. Yeah, that's our family.
That's why there's locks on doors these days.
Yeah,
I mean, right. There's
pay for the extension. Pay for a lock, mate.
There is a lock on my bathroom door.
An ensuite when you build the extension.
Because I don't need people coming in propped up in our fucking bird bath.
Cleaning under my ball sack or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing top and tails. I don't want anyone coming in. Now. We talked about this, the dirty cop killer bullets, drug running angle or arms running angle. It just wasn't strong enough for me.
Yeah. No.
It needed a better hook. It needed something else in it. And because they just shortchanged Jack Travis. There's just fucking goons everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, there's just this cavalcade of goons.
Yeah. At least in part two, you see some of the same faces.
Yeah.
This one, you don't really, except for the two guys that run the armored truck job that both get wiped out pretty quickly, and Stephen King. Other than that, you don't get that many.
Yeah, you don't get much.
That you're seeing again.
No.
And I recall, you talk about the nostalgia for this one. I recall the first time watching it, or an early time watching it, thinking, oh, fuck, armor-piercing bullets, that's a great idea.
Mm.
But now you've seen it everywhere. I mean, everyone's had the armor-piercing bullets or that sort of angle, so it's just kind of like...
They toss in this rookie cop.
Oh, yeah, that poor...
What the fuck was that all about? I was just like, why is this guy even here?
Yeah, and we'd done that. We did it in part two. You wiped out the whole fucking squad in part two.
Yeah, but even by the standard of, what were they trying to prove with him?
He was just a trigger.
We didn't mention that, but that squad, fucking hell.
I know.
You got Hank from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, you got Vasquez from Aliens.
Vasquez from Aliens. You got Agent Johnson, no relation.
I forgot about him. Special Agent Johnson, no relation. That guy is one of my favourites.
Yeah, you wiped them all out.
We'd
done that and it.
But I just got I had no fucking interest in that guy. Like, he gets three scenes and he's shot through a petrol barrel.
Yeah.
And it showcases that the bullets will pierce the armor.
Yeah.
And I think they used it to show that Lorna needs to double armor up.
Yeah.
We already saw that. They did it down at the firing range.
Is the fucking what do you call it? The little plate on the front of the bulldozer.
The shovel, yeah.
Yeah, surely that's more than two plates.
Yeah, that'd be about that thing. Like, you're not getting
daylight.
It was cool. Still,
but
you're not getting those bullets through there, I don't think.
I wouldn't have thought so.
No. And it's also got to not only pass through there, which my understanding of bullet fucking, trajectory is once it hits something, it starts to
drop. Being the ballistics expert that I am,
it's got to get through that, then through the cab.
Yes.
And kill him.
Yeah.
So it's probably the velocity's not quick enough, even if it gets through the...
Well, did it have... Because I think it was just open, wasn't it?
Just open?
Yeah, yeah. It could have just shot above them.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Sorry. Yeah, it was. It was just open. Yeah, it was open. So it was just a bulldozer.
Through the cab.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't give Renee Russo a proctology exam. Why didn't they sign her up for the...
They didn't hate her.
She comes in that shade.
Oh, dearie, mate. Especially in 92 as well. Yeah. That sequence where Rianne is filming a movie
and
Riggs interrupts it. What in the world was that? What, I watched that and I just went, so why is that in here? It made no sense. It was just there to bring Rhiann back. Oh, shit. I think.
I mean,
when you could have had her walk in the door. Yeah. Oh, well, walk into the bathroom. Look at her dad's cock, isn't it? Like, you know what I mean? If you wanted to bring her back, there were multiple ways to do it instead of having a ridiculous sequence where she's shooting a movie, Riggs gets a miscommunication, gets her fired, punches the bloke, gets reinstated.
But the stupid thing
is... And that comes back to exactly what you were saying. That's him just being an asshole.
Yeah, but the stupid thing is you see that and you see his point of view from across the street, but then he runs over the street and tackles the bloke. Yeah.
But as you get closer, surely you see all the cameras.
As soon as you get close, the whole crew is sitting about 2 feet away from him. He would have had to run past them. I mean, where's the fucking boom operator? Yeah, that's going to give it away, isn't
he
it?
He notices like, through the crack in the space.
Yeah. That he's in trouble. So he charges over, but of course, as he's, I mean, if he's any sort of cop, as he runs over, he's like, what's all these people standing right here?
Several cameras. Shit. Whoops. Better slow down.
Yeah.
It was just ridiculous.
I like how he solves his problems, all of them with the same approach. Like, the director's not, is a fighter. I'm going to beat the shit out of him until he gives her a job back. Yeah. Rene Russo is not interested in me. I'm just going to jump on her until she likes me.
He's got to stop.
Let's be clear. I mean, we've kind of danced around it, but Russo would not have gone for him.
No.
No chance.
No.
Look, Gibson 92.
Gibson 92. Gibson, well, I'll tell you what was under the strain. Gibson's mullet. Are you trying to tell me
if he rolled up to you and said, hello, Jared, you would go, ooh.
it's already probably starting to spout some racial.
Rubbish. I did read something about how he was massively on the piss.
Yeah, I think, look, it's just a case of she's IA. She knows you're a loose unit. All you do when she comes into the office is be an abusive turd. But hang on a minute, you've been shot. We'll check out my bullet hole. Yeah. Oh, there's, for me, prior to that, they come to that little truce, but there still shouldn't be an attraction there for me.
That's enough. Look, the truce is enough.
Look, it's a classic case of two good-looking people putting together.
Yeah.
And, you know, it has to happen.
Correct.
Whereas I'd be more for she is a tough, no-nonsense operator who he can work with instead of having to have sex with her.
But why couldn't he have gone in? I mean, if that's the way you're going to go, why couldn't... And this comes back to what Maddie said, the really good idea of kind of changing the balance between the two of them. Why couldn't he have, for the first time in three movies, gone, I'm going to sit down with the psychologist.
Yeah.
And comes out of that session... And she's giving him some pointers about, well, maybe you need to be more fucking...
And he starts to use
them. More of a team player. And he uses them when Russo comes in or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, well, there is a connection here. And that's...
Yeah. It's 90s action misogyny. Like, that. That's what it is. It's that Martin Riggs is a man's man. And everyone loves him.
We needed him to hook up with somebody.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he's Mel Gibson. I think Mel Gibson's a handsome guy.
I think I've made the point previously that psychologist might be the most qualified... Yeah. Dismissed and poorly treated person in action cinema.
She
rolls in trying to help this bloke and just gets told, you're a fucking quack or whatever. I walk out.
So I agree with you. There could have been some better shades. And I agree that, there is no real reason. Like, to me, take the tough female and show that she can play with these guys and is right in the wheelhouse. But it's not about sex.
But she doesn't want a sex Matumbo. Yeah. It's just, it's not.
Like,
it's,
I probably would have put my hand up and been a sex fucking who wants a sex Matumbo in Pandora's. Probably because I'd had a fucking skin full.
If you made her as misogynistic as him, who wants to sex Russo?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, in fact, that's what it should have been, yeah. She
was overly aggressive and he wasn't into it. Would have been funny.
Yeah, that would have been interesting. But no, but it's a classic. It's a classic example of because she's a woman, she can be tough and capable,
But because it's a Mel Gibson's, a handsome guy, it just has to happen.
You want a SmackDown, go Lethal Weapon 2 mullet versus Lethal Weapon 3 mullet. No contest.
Do you think he lost a bit of body?
I think he lost. He needed a baby cap or two.
He would have needed like a fucking fogger for a baby cap because his hair was so big. Okay. The last thing for me, or two quick things. Jack Travis, disgraced police officer, waltzes in and out of the police station with fucking impunity. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just walks in whenever he feels like it. And then also, secondarily, how the fuck is there a rail line running directly under the police station?
Oh, yeah. I don't understand that. To your point, though, as you kind of mentioned, at this time, we don't really have the swipe cards in and out. It's 92. That sort of stuff's coming in, but it's the new technology. But his card either says Jack Travis, or it's a fake.
Mm.
But you didn't tell us one way or the other. But if it does say Jack Travis, you're not getting in.
Yeah.
Because you've been...
You're in disgrace.
You're in disgrace. You're currently in disgrace.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what the guy at the front should have said. Jack Travis, you're in disgrace. Yeah. You can't come in here.
Weren't you fine?
Yeah. And he knows his way around the precinct because it's... Isn't that the one they kind of insinuate that that's the one that he worked at?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if he wants to get
every prick in the joints going, Jack Travis, what are you doing in here? Boy, how'd you get in?
Because he walks his way, he knows his way to the interrogation room.
But also, you know what I love about that? You know what I love about that sequence too? Oh, look, you're holding Billy whatever in interrogation. We're holding him there. I just gotta go talk to him. The first question is, why?
Mm.
What's your involvement in this? You're not the detective assigned to this case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, sorry. Who the fuck are you?
Why is he in the interrogation room in the first place?
Really convenient.
You could have made him. An undisgraced police officer
who was on the take.
Yeah,
Russo.
Easy.
Russo, like easy. IA on the take.
Can I ask you another question? How does Travis know he's in the interrogation room at that particular moment?
Because that's what the guy says to him at the front desk. I think.
But
I know. But why is he coming into the station? And
says you've got this guy.
Yeah, he's down in the interrogation room.
What happens if Travis walks in and he says, oh, he's locked up at the moment?
There's two detectives in there interrogating him. Yeah. Fuck off. I'm in the middle of something here, mate.
I'll come back in 10.
Well, just, that was another one.
Hey, can you guys leave? Conveniently leave.
Just make sure he's still in that room. Tell the detectives to fuck off. It's just one of those, you know, you talk about sometimes you got to swallow.
It's just convenient and convenient and convenient.
It could have even just been he had somebody working in the police station.
Yeah.
This one's for Travis.
Feels like it should have been that someone else was still there on the take that set him up to be where Travis needed him to be at that time.
Yeah. And again, there were angles to that.
If Travis is made to wait 10 minutes in the foyer, that problem pops up again if someone walking out, racing out to the car. Hey, Travis, what are you doing?
How'd you locked up? Angles. There would have been shades there. Yeah. You could have used Lorna Cole as a double take. The captain.
Yeah.
You could have had him as the double cross.
You know my favourite part of it, though?
I love a good
He's already
cross.
Spoken to the bloke at the counter. He's waltzed in there. He comes out and does the scratch of the eyebrow.
Yeah,
good on you. Doesn't he dead end the car park?
There's a camera in the interrogation room.
He's hanging out in the police car park.
Yeah. No one will see me because I'm dealt with. That's not suspicious.
Why in a police car? Yeah, ridiculous.
All right, any other dislikes?
No. You've brought most of them up.
Okay. So let's break it down scores wise. What would you have given Lethal Weapon 2, Matty?
3.5.
3.5. Jared?
Snake Eyes. Bingo.
Snake Eyes.
Boom.
4.
4?
Yep.
Solid. I went Snake Eyes. 3.5. Real solid, not in the same tier as the first one.
Mm.
Lethal Weapon 3. I'm going to go with a 3.
Yeah, I've got a 3.
I can't. I looked at it and I looked at it and I looked at it. And apart from Sven Ole Thorsen, that's my fucking spy. My big witness. I just couldn't find anything that remotely put it over the top.
I mean, for a minute there, you thought Sven was going to be your equivalent of Halloween 6's scorching electric guitar theme.
But for a minute there, I thought Sven was going to be like OJ trying on the gloves. I felt like I had you. But deep down, when you look at it, the drop-off is quite a dip. Like, you're looking at them, looking at all three films, the drop is quite big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still got some really good stuff in it, and
yeah, it's still entertaining. Got some,
yeah,
I mean, you put Lethal Weapon 3 against Red Notice, which one I'm going.
Oh man,
I keep kicking Red Notice, but it's far better as an action movie than something like that.
Yeah,
but when you put it, you know, when you come out with hot takes like Part 3 is far better than Part 2.
Yeah, you set yourself up. Yeah, basically
Do we have any opinion on the captain?
The captain's kind of he's just a side player throughout the whole series.
Yeah,
he's got
a funny accent.
He does, and he does. There's always a nice banter when those guys are together, but he's not in it very often.
I could have done with the Beverly Hills Cop captain coming in, just yelling some chewing ass.
He's that fucking Foley in it.
Yeah, he gets over this. I can't get over it, but he gets over it far too easily that they fucking destroyed a building.
I know.
They destroyed another one at the end of it.
They destroyed another one.
God.
It's ridiculous.
They got a couple of days on the beat. And they're back in the mix.
Yeah.
If I was to put those
reinstating them. You haven't got the authority to do that. Watch me.
That's
funny.
This is the thing, though. If I'm looking at Lethal Weapon against, say, Die Hard, first three Die Hards, I think the drop's not as noticeable in the Die Hard movie. Like, I think two is pretty damn good.
I'm a fan of Die Hard 2, but...
And three at least goes...
People, some people fucking hate Die Hard 2.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I really enjoy it.
It's essentially a similar film.
Yeah.
It's just not as good.
It's not quite as good. But
three at least goes in a different direction.
Yeah.
Slightly.
Yep.
And so I think that maybe that's why the drop-off's not as bad, because the Lethal Weapon films seem to almost have stayed to a template, and that template gets worse.
Yeah.
Just each time.
Yep.
So, look, it was hard because, as I said, nostalgia said to me that Lethal Weapon 3 I'd watched so many more times.
Yep.
And it could have just been that. I just watched it so often that it's
familiarity.
It's the familiarity of it. But yeah, there just wasn't anything there. And simply put, and I think you've hit the nail on the head, Riggs becomes somewhat unbearable, which is not what we want.
No.
We're supposed to love the bloke.
Yeah. Yep.
And we just don't in this one, which is sad. And I think 4's tarred with the same brush. 4's got too many characters in it. The one positive it's got in its favour is Jet Li as a villain that's very difficult to deal with. Like, the two of them can't deal with him. Like, that was the intro. I read something about 4 that they were going to have Riggs and him fight it out. But then they were like, no one's going to believe that fucking Riggs could beat him.
Yeah,
so
we've got to
have both of them take him.
Correct.
On.
Yes.
And let's be honest.
Even then.
He would have fucking held them both.
Well, even then, it's not all that believable, but it's better.
Yeah.
Especially when they have the little talk beforehand.
Yeah. Exactly. But 4 is tarred with the same problem that 3's got. It's too comedic. It's too many characters stuffed into it. But again, we bring Leo Getz back for no reason. We have to have Butters in there for some fucking reason. You know, like, there's just characters that we don't need. And it felt like with 4... we better bring these people back. It's like we didn't trust Riggs and Murtaugh, which I couldn't quite understand.
They're good enough.
Yeah, yeah. They would have been fine because the aging coppers would have been an interesting angle to look at
before. Yeah.
But 4's a money move. Like, they're just going, well, shit.
Let's just drop one more out.
I believe
I haven't seen it yet. I've got to check it out.
They're still talking about a fifth.
Yeah, yeah. They're still chatting.
Mel Gibson
will
direct it.
Look.
Look, if it's anything like Apocalypto, I'm in.
if they're coming to you,
well,
with
obviously
Lethal
Gibson
Weapon
knows
4,
his way around the directing chair. Oh, I mean, fucking Hacksaw Ridge is excellent.
If they're coming to you with Lethal Weapon 4 and they're saying, "Look, you know, we're starting to things are starting to get a bit long in the tooth. but Jet Li's committed to do this as his first American film.
Yeah. What do you take?
Okay, well, let's do it. And, you know, that's the part of the movie that does succeed, because he's awesome.
But the problem is Danny Glover would be too old now, wouldn't he? For a Lethal Weapon 5?
Jesus. I mean, he's gone fishing, as you said.
He's retired.
He wishes he had.
I don't know how you find a way to drag him back in, sure.
Because they have to, but there's no way he couldn't be retired.
They do some rubbish like his son's involved or something.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. It would be something like they are retired and they're pulled back in by...
Or his son's the mad one and he's actually settled down now.
Yeah.
That's what it would be.
All right, so we're happy with that? We're happy that Lethal Weapon 2... is the better picture.
Look, it's just been a breezy day at the office for me. I've just rolled in.
Yeah.
You've made your plea. I've fucked off to lunch 3 hours early.
I ate my fucking crackers at my desk. I opened my briefcase, took out my crackers, ate them. Fucking went back to Sven. Did a quick potato tent with Sven about how we get you.
Half a star's not a landslide.
It's not a landslide, but it's clear.
Look,
it's
I'm clear coming back into the courtroom to say half a star is not a good enough. No. Not a good enough margin for me. I want a stronger
star. No, but we took a plea. We took a plea.
Minimum.
On a half star.
Okay.
We took the plea. All right. And to me, it's clear that two's better.
But it's
pretty clear.
It's not a snake, guys.
Be more careful with your fucking statements.
No, I'm going to continue to toss fucking bullshit statements at will.
Good, because I enjoy these episodes.
Yeah, exactly. All right. That is Lethal Weapon SmackDown. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, and Podomatic. Send us an email at thrillme@iinet.net.au. We're on Facebook at Thrill Me Podcast Australia, Podomatic at thrillme.podomatic.com, and Instagram at Thrill Me Podcast AU. Please rate and review us on all the platforms we're on. Keep an eye on the Facebook page for the next episode. But until then, take it easy, everyone, and we'll catch up with you all later. Cheers.
Find the podcast at Podomatic or on iTunes. Don't forget to rate and review. Like us on Facebook at Thrill Me Podcast Australia or contact us at thrillme, all one word, all lowercase, at iinet.net.au.